Greetings, greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program, and today's recording date is on the 10th anniversary of 9/11/2001. Today's recording date is Sunday, September the 11th, 2011. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor daily to climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the synagogue of Satan. We endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, Wall Street oligarchs, corporate elite plutocrats, the petty bourgeoisie elites. All of these are they who create warfare and bloodshed. We want to leave that mentality, that consciousness, that mental construct, that mind. We want to climb up out of that mind and into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Yahweh Jehovah, the mind of Jah, the mind of Yahshua, the mind of Muhammad, the mind of Namaste, Naskare. We want to climb up into that righteous mind. And when we do so, we will find that we will break down all the barriers, whether they be racial barriers, ethnic barriers, barriers of national origin, barriers based on gender, barriers based on religion and denomination, racial barriers. We want to break down all of those barriers and come together as the international movement of the oppressed. And as we do so, we will find ourselves organizing together for freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We are ready, willing, and able, and eager to work with any political, revolutionary, and religious institution, organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is my helper, engineer, facilitator, producer, coordinator of this Mind of God program and website. I am thankful every day unto the Most High Father and Mother for that beautiful sister, my beautiful sister Venice. I pray the Most High's blessings on her and her children and her righteous endeavors. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. Let us now pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Father, Creator, and the Most High Mother, Creatress. Praises due unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father is known as Ab. Put that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh Ab. In the African Arabic language, the Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, that same Almighty Father Creator is known as Amen, among other names. Amen means the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, the Most High Father Creator is known as the Great and the Grand Father. We also pause to give thanks and praises unto the Almighty, beautiful, precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. Now, in the African Hebrew language, the word mother is Aim. So you put that together with Yahweh, you say Yahweh Aim. Yahweh Ab for Father, Yahweh Aim for Mother, the Holy Spirit. She, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is Chokma. And that word is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Now, we say she conceived Jesus because that which conceives is female and feminine, and Holy Spirit must be Mother because she conceived Jesus. Now, Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of universe, mother of sun, moon, stars, planets, mother of the human family, as Father is father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. The word Ruach, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word is feminine, referring to a feminine entity. In this case, it is our Mother, the Holy Spirit, being referred to Ruach HaKadosh. In the African Arabic language, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Illah, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu illa illaha il Allah. You hear Illah three times. You hear Allah one time. Illah is mother. Allah is father. This is a love story. Mother and father have come together to give birth to the whole of creation, the human family included. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Hebrew Revolutionary Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua, HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but it is time to believe the truth. Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of his Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say, and I and I say, Jah, Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names, the new names of Jesus Christ in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ, desires to be revealed and manifested in your and my personalities, thereby making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ in the last days would manifest, would come, would manifest in the personality of the revolutionaries who are willing and able to stand up and defend the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and not only defend the oppressed, but deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. All of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, this divine universe, under this divine Milky Way, on this divine planet we call Earth, in this divine physical house that we call our physical bodies. We are the I in Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari. Rasta don't say you and me, Rasta say I and I and I. The first I referring to the original created self that is created by the Most High in unison with Creator, Creatress, Father and Mother, and in unison with the creation. The second I refers to the human family outside of yourself, also united with Most High Father and Most High Mother, and also united with creation. These are the last days of judgment in Babylon. And this wicked, no good, rotten system is on its way out, and we are happy to play our part in dismantling, as Dr. King would say, dismantling this whole capitalist structure that is based on theft of land, wealth, and resources. All praise is due unto the Most High Father and the Most High Mother. In the name of Yahshua Christus, Haile Selassie Jah, Rastafari Jesus Christ, Nunim, in these last days of judgment in Babylon. We are yet in the book of Revelation, looking at the whole of the current affairs through the mind of Christ, through Revelation, all giving us a picture of the black church, these seven letters, giving us seven characteristics of the black church and the church in general, showing us where we are deficient and showing us where we are strong. And we're going to take that advice of how to strengthen ourselves and be rid of the deficiencies. The Quran says in one place, this is the time of the manifestation of defects. And the purpose of the manifestation of defects is that we may see our defects and cut out our defects, push them aside, and become stronger in the mission of the Most High. Before we get to Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, I believe we're up to, I want to continue what I started last session concerning Boaz. We had a lesson on Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and so on. And we talked about a lot of things. But when I saw the word Boaz, who is one of the ancestors of Jesus the Christ, Yahshua Mashiach, in the scripture, Boaz got together with Ruth. And they had, I believe it was Obed, if I have it correctly. And they came into the line of the ancestry of Yahshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. But that Boaz, I remembered that I read that Boaz is used in the Illuminati Masonic order. And I remembered how Boaz is used to symbolize the temple and symbolize the church and symbolize the universe. And I recalled that Boaz is used to symbolize one of the pillars. The main, when you enter a church or a temple, you have two pillars or two sides. And Boaz is used to symbolize one of those pillars. And I remembered how in the scripture there's a mention of pillars by the mother of Samuel. So I began to construct this thing. And I remembered Brother Ashra Kwesi, that great African scholar, black man, scholar on Africa and African history and knowledge, and how through his tapes, African Origin of Western Freemasonry, African Origin of Christianity and Judaism, African Origin of Spirituality. I don't have the names of the titles exactly correct, but I have them near correct. And through his research and other research that has been done by other sisters and brothers who have taken the time to study Africa, study Egypt, and bring that knowledge to us, I recalled that our African Egyptian ancestors saw the whole universe as being constructed based on truth, justice, and righteousness. And how our African ancestors in Egypt, Ethiopia, constructed the temples in the east, in the eastern part of the land, and constructed the cemeteries in the western part of the land, because the universe is the first school teacher, scientific and religious school teacher, teaching us how to construct our societies. And because when the sun rose in the east, it would appear so. Because of the spinning of the earth, the sun appears to rise in the east. So in the eastern part of our nation, of our society, we constructed the temples and different buildings to signify the rising of the sun, the rising of life, the rising of truth, the rising of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And we constructed our cemeteries in the west because that is where the sun appears to go down because of the spinning of the earth juxtaposed to the sun. And so our African Egyptian ancestors, in constructing their temples to face the rising of the sun, and the church that I attend, Modesto Christian Center, that church is constructed to face the rising of the sun. Now I asked the pastor of MCC, and I asked the builder or designer of the church, was there any spiritual significance to how the church was constructed? It's constructed with 8 sides. It's constructed with an obelisk on the top. And it's facing the rising of the sun, the sunrise. They said they knew nothing about any symbolism. They just chose the building. But let's understand that building from our African Egyptian ancestors. They constructed the temples to face the rising of the sun. And as the temples face the east and face the rising of the sun, when you exit the temple, the pillar to your left would be the southern pillar, representing the southern south pole or south direction of your land. The pillar to your right, facing east, would be the north pillar, representing the north pole and direction in your land. And the sky and the heavens represent the Most High Father and the Most High Mother. And the S-U-N sun represents that physical manifestation of the Most High into physical reality. The S-U-N sun representing Ra, the hidden mother and father, Amen, Amenet. The visible manifestation of hidden mother and father, Amen, Amenet, called Ra and Ra'it, represented by the S-U-N disk, sun disk. And so the sun, S-U-N, representing truth, justice, and righteousness. And the south pillar was given the name Enu Shima, which represents strength. Strength, and that headquarters was in Thebes. And the north pillar was given the name Anu Shima, which means to establish. And that headquarters was in On, the city of On in Egypt. And together with strength and establish, the unification of those concepts represented stability. So the heavens, the sun, the south pole, north pole, the universe, the sun, moon, stars, and planets, all given birth to by the Most High, based on truth, justice, and righteousness, moving in not chaos, but moving in order, moving in a fashion that is orderly. The whole universe unified meant stability. And this also went to the consciousness of the African Egyptian people, in that they were seeking and sought to and were successful at reunifying the land of Egypt as it had been split by wicked European invaders. And so Pharaoh Normer reunited the land. Thebes and On reunited the south of Egypt with the north of Egypt. And that caused the African Egyptian ancestors to understand unification and stability. And let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program, thinkaboutit.org. Today's recording date is the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Sunday, September 11th, 2011. Now, moving from that to the African Hebrew temple. You see, the African Hebrew ancestors are the descendants of those original African Egyptian ancestors. And so when the African Hebrews constructed the temple, they constructed it on the same scientific reality. The south pillar had the names, symbolic names, of Mishpat. Mishpat is an African Hebrew word that means justice. And so the African Hebrew people constructed a society based on justice. And this south pillar represents the male as well. And so males of the human family, you are symbolic or symbolized by justice. You symbolize Mishpat, justice. Now, the next word, Boaz. Boaz is the name used for the south pillar. And Boaz, incidentally, means strength. It means strength. The same meaning given by our African Egyptian ancestors. So Boaz is a name used to symbolize the south pillar. Boaz, strengthen. That south pillar is also symbolized by the king, symbolized by Jesus. And Jesus' name has to do with justice and judgment. And that same side, the male, that same side, south pillar, symbolizes knowledge and spirituality. Now, you go to the north pillar. The north pillar is symbolized by the word Sadek. Sadek. That word means righteousness in the African Hebrew language. And incidentally, that north pillar represents the female. The female is symbolized by the north pillar. The male, the south pillar. The female, the north pillar. And when you face, let me make sure I get this right. When you face the east, when you face the east, I want to make sure I get this right, sisters and brothers. When you face the east, your right side would be south, and your left side would be north. I hope I'm getting that correctly. But nevertheless, the north pillar, the female, say that righteousness. You can't have justice without righteousness. And then Boaz is strength, and Jachin on the right, on the north pillar. Jachin is another African Hebrew word that is used, and that word Jachin means establish. Isn't that interesting? It's the same meaning as the African Egyptians gave that north pillar, establish. So you have strength and you have established. And also that same sign is symbolized by the church. The church is a womb. The church is to produce. The church is that which the word of God comes into to produce righteousness. The prophet is that side. The priest is that side. Mama Holy Spirit is symbolized by that north pillar. Righteousness and wisdom and morality, all symbolized by that north pillar, all symbolized by the female. Now also, the top of the temple represents peace. And so the whole construct of the Trinity, peace, shalom. And shalom not only means the absence of conflict, but shalom, which is the African Hebrew word for peace, also means to be whole. And we sisters and brothers who are poor, afflicted, needy, and oppressed, we need to be made whole again. And when we construct our lives based on truth, justice, and righteousness, following the scientific teachings of the universe, we will find that we will be able to destroy the synagogue of Satan and become whole again. Now, sisters and brothers, in the Masonic order, they took all of this knowledge and they constructed a symbol to represent that knowledge. It's based on Mayat, Egypt, truth, justice, and righteousness. And the compass and the square. You go by cities and you see a compass, a square, and a G in the middle. And that compass is symbolic of spirituality. That is the male. That is the man, the male. And the square or the ruler is symbolic of morality. Spirituality and morality. Male spirituality, female morality. Spirituality, knowledge, male. Morality, female, wisdom. You need male and female together. You need spirituality and morality together. You need knowledge and you need wisdom together. You need the compass and you need the square. The compass measures the diameter of your circle, the circumference of your circle, and the diameter, the point from the various points within the circle that make up the circle. Also, radius is involved. So you have a diameter and you have circumference. And then you have your square that causes you to be able to cut blocks and fit blocks into buildings. So all of this is scientific knowledge to cause us to understand how we're to fit in this revolution. Using spirituality, using knowledge, and using morality, and seeing how we're to fit into this revolution so that we may work together. Now, in the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8, we see Hannah, the mother of Samuel, preaching about the poor being raised up by the Most High. How the Most High was going to use her seed, Samuel, to bring truth, justice, and righteousness to the African Hebrew people. And she says that the Most High raiseth up the poor out of the dust. You see, Sister Hannah, Mother Hannah, had a heart for the poor and how the poor had been oppressed, beat down by the oppressor. And the African Hebrew Israelite nation was given the task to free and liberate the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. She continues in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. The Most High lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. You have to research the definitions of these words. Let me see. Dunghill means an ash heap, a refuse heap, found under the number 830 on the Hebrew side. Ashpoth And so the poor are considered dirt. The poor are considered trash. And you who are Caucasian, you are familiar with the term poor white trash. And black people are familiar with terms that are denigrating to us and all of us, black, brown, red, yellow, and white, who are poor, afflicted, needy, and depressed. We are they who have been put in the dunghill, put on the trash heaps, put aside, while the oppressor takes all the land, the wealth, and the resources and crushes the oppressed. So Mother Hannah continues, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. The princes of this world, the kings and rulers of this world, don't see you if you are not the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the wealthy, as being worthy of sitting among them. But the Most High sees you, poor black man and woman, poor white man and woman, poor brown, red, yellow man and woman, as being worthy and more worthy. The Most High is lifting you and us out of the trash heaps and the dunghill and putting us among princes. And to make, and real princes, not these wicked ones who are in power to do the bidding of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, but real princes of this earth. Let me look up this word prince. And 5081 is the word for prince. Nadev or Nadiv is the pronunciation. 5081 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Inclined, willing, noble, generous. A prince is supposed to be noble and generous. Not just because one calls themselves a prince, a king, a prime minister, a president. What is the heart of the person? What is the mind and character of the person? This meaning is one of the other meanings of Nadiv or prince in the African Hebrew language is noble in mind and character. So when Mother Hannah says that the poor will be lifted among the princes, taken out of the dunghill, and set among the princes, she's talking about real, true, righteous princes. And to make them, continuing in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8, make them inherit the throne of glory. That word throne. Kisei 3678. The seat of honor. The seat or throne, royal dignity, authority, and power. Watch this now. The poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed have been dishonored, denigrated, and destroyed. And dignity has been taken from us. Authority and power has been taken from us. So Mother Hannah says the Most High is going to restore your dignity, restore your power, and put you on the throne of dignity and power. And this word glory, 3519, to glory, honor, abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, reverence. That word is pronounced Kavodeh, 3519. So look, sisters and brothers, the land, the wealth, the resources have been taken from us, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Abundance has been taken from us. Dignity has been taken from us. Riches have been taken from us. So the Most High wants to restore all of that to you, poor black man and woman, poor white man and woman, poor red, brown, red, and yellow man and woman. Continuing, she says, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. That's what I wanted to get to. The word pillars, 4690 Matsuk, and it means molten support, pillar or column. But she says the pillars of the earth. That's exactly what our African Egyptian ancestors taught, that the whole of the earth and the universe are constructed on two pillars, strength and establish. Truth, justice, and righteousness. Justice, strength. Righteousness, establish. Together, stability. Based on truth. Based on Mayat. This is what our African ancestors taught. For years I read this scripture. And I always wondered, what does Mother Hannah mean? What is she saying? What are these two pillars that the earth sits upon? And when I began to study Africa, then I came to understand what she meant. Mama Hannah, I love you, and I praise the Most High for you. So, the universe is based on truth. The universe is based on justice and righteousness. The universe is based on Boaz, strength, and Jachin, established together, stability. But the leaders of this world want to cause us to think that they work on behalf of the people, truth, justice, and righteousness. But in reality, they are working against truth, justice, and righteousness. Recall what we said in the Quran last session about those in power who, when they are in front of us, they say, "We are with you." The presidents and the prime ministers, they tell us that they are with us. But when they get alone with their devils, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the synagogues of Satan, when they get alone with the synagogue of Satan, these wicked ones who are the prime ministers and presidents, leaders in religion and education and finance and government, they tell the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the synagogue of Satan, "We were only fooling the people. We're not with the masses. We're not with the oppressed. We're with you, O Satan. We're with you, O synagogue of Satan, O evil ones." That's how the leaders of this world talk. They come before you and me when they are running for president, as Obama is doing right now. Obama just gave a speech on jobs. The job situation in America is deplorable, and it is indecent, and it is immoral. Recall what we said about the Living Wage Act of 1946, the Federal Reserve Act of 1977, the Humphrey Hawkins Living Wage Act of 1978, and how these acts were created to force the corporations, to force the Federal Reserve to create jobs for the citizens of America, use that monies that they have accrued most times through wickedness anyway, use that monies to create jobs. And so we see that the powers, the presidents and whatnot, have not held themselves and the Federal Reserve and the corporations to the law. They are disobedient to the law. They have broken the law, not just America's law, but the universal law of truth, justice, and righteousness. They are in violation of the law. And so Obama, running for president now, seeing how bad it is, the job situation, wants to cause us to think that he is working on our behalf to create jobs. You saw him before Congress. He said he's going to create jobs. Then he said, "Don't worry about how it's going to be paid for. It's all going to be paid for." And my ear went up. I said, "Uh-oh, how are you going to pay for it, Barack Obama, Obama administration, Mr. President, sir?" He said he was going to cut payroll tax. Payroll tax from the perspective of the employer and the employee. So I said, "Okay, let me write this down. Someone is going to explain to me what that means." And the next day, I don't know what program I was listening to. It might have been Democracy Now. It might have been the September 9th Friday edition of Democracy Now. But it was explained that that means there will be cuts in Social Security. I said, "Okay, now we're getting to it." Then in the speech, Barack Obama started to talk about the reconstruct of Medicare. And so what we see, sisters and brothers, is that he has been given a script by the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the synagogue of Satan. They told Obama, "Your job is to cut programs to the people, cut programs for the poor, cut Social Security, cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, cut education." And so under the cover of jobs, to pay for these jobs, he's going to dip into Social Security. He's also going to dip into Medicare. Well, he's not obeying the law. He is paying Peter by robbing Paul, his job is to come. Now, the Republicans, I saw a debate held by the Republicans this past week, and they tell you outright, we don't, this is the Republicans talking. They say, we don't want no Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We want to cut the people, cut the people, cut the people. But Obama is very skillful. He wants the same, but he cloaks it in language that causes us to think that he is with us and working on our behalf. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.